Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
All right, coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Do you believe in the Rams? Kirk Cousins is going into to training camp as the starter, and Bryce Harper asks Dave Dombrowski, can we get some help?
Please.
So we'll be in today's show with the biggest news coming out of the weekend, and that was of the King, LeBron James, signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with the 76ers. LeBron has been mulling Miami, Golden State, and the Cavs, but took less money to go to the 76ers. LeBron cited the reason for signing with the Philadelphia 76ers is that they give him the best chance to win a championship. So, Z, did LeBron make the right choice?
Let's start with the irony of this. The King signs with Philly, which is the home of the Constitution. The Constitution was created in Philly to rid ourselves of kings. And here we go. There it is.
I'm sure that's what he was thinking.
Oh, 100%. He and Rich Paul. The text, I believe, from Rich Paul was, congrats, Philly, it is.
Yeah.
Just like that. So, yeah. What are we talking about here? He averaged 21-6-7 last year. He played 60 games. Making $4 million a year. Now, here's a list of players who signed new contracts this year who are making more than LeBron James. You ready for this? Landry Shamet, Quentin Post, Luke Kennard, Colin Sexton, Marcus Smart, Tim Hardaway Jr., and De'Ron Sharp.
De'Ron.
So, Kevin Huerter, Anfernee Simons, what... The caliber is not the same, right? The caliber of talent there is not really the same. Now, you have him, you have Edgecombe, you have Maxey, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Joel Embiid. On paper, it's a fine team. It's a fine team. He took the pay cut and... KCP is going there. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He got bought out of his contract with the intention of going to play for the Sixers. Did he make the right choice? It's hard to say because everywhere LeBron goes, it becomes LeBron's team, whether he intends it to be or not, right? You want this to be Maxey's team. You want this to be Edgecombe's team. You want this to be Jaylen Brown's team. But inevitably, it becomes LeBron's team. And at 41, 42 years old, it shouldn't be LeBron's team. Like, he should be, at this point, the Alfred. Right, he shouldn't be Batman. He shouldn't be Robin. He should be Alfred. Or he should be Commissioner Gordon. But he should be somewhere down the pecking order. And yet, he's going to be front and center because he's LeBron F. James. And that's what's going to happen. You have to concern yourself with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid just is a walking injury. Does that make them... a contender, knowing that Joel Embiid is bound to get hurt. LeBron only played 60 games last year. Is he breaking down? He has a lot of tread on that tire. Now, I will say he made the right choice in as far as he's got Maxey ahead of him, he's got Edgecombe ahead of him, and he's got Jaylen Brown ahead of him. But ultimately, this... I don't think this ends well. I really don't think that what's happened previously is going to occur this time. It's a different cast of characters. Jaylen Brown's got something to prove, right? He's coming. He carried Boston when Jason Tatum was out. You don't think he's going to want the ball. You don't want to think he wants to be the guy and not the third guy. Tyrese Maxey wants to prove he's the guy. Edgecombe, yeah, he's a second-year player, but he's got the ability to be the guy, and he's also making more than LeBron. He's making $11 million next year. So it's a lot of personalities. It's a lot of ego for just one ball. And you still have really good teams in the East, right? You still have the Knicks. You still have the Cavs, who lost James Harden. They lost it on LeBron. They brought in Mario Hezonja. We're going to talk about that in a second. They didn't fall off that much. They're probably going to go to like the six. You still have Orlando that's good. You still have Boston that's good. You still have the Pistons who are good. They're in the mix. I don't think that they are clearly far and away the Eastern Conference champions. We have a lot of work to be done. But personally, LeBron made the right choice in that he's got four other guys to do the heavy lifting for him. But I just don't know if this chemistry experiment is going to work.
Well, hold on a second. So you're trying to tell me that if by some miracle that they're all healthy, this isn't the best starting five in the NBA?
That's a miracle.
I'm just trying to tell you, if they're all healthy, is this the best starting five in the NBA?
In name value, yes.
I just think they present a lot of matchup problems. LeBron at the four creates a matchup problem.
He's probably going to play the one.
No, he's not. They're not going to take the ball out of Maxey's hand. Because Maxey is the best player on the team. Maxey's the best player. I've seen Maxey play. Maxey's the best player. LeBron has a chance to be what Bosh was when he was with the Heat. You're going to deflect. You're going to create. You're going to help that team get better and be better. I disagree with you. I think this is a great move. I don't even worry about the Embiid portion. Embiid is a bonus to me, right? In my opinion, it's a bonus. If Embiid is able to give us 25 to 30 games, we're fine, right? The mainstays is you've got Maxey, Brown, Edgecombe, LeBron James. Wow. Even LeBron at 41, 42 years old can play power forward. Bang down low, get rebounds, pass, score when he can. He doesn't have to be the first option. He doesn't have to be the second option. He don't even have to be the third option. He don't have to be even the fourth option. I see this team winning. I think this year might be tough. But I think for sure next year, they might even go back to back. It's like, think about like this. When they come to town, you have to figure out how we're going to guard this team. Right? We have to figure out how we're going to guard this team. We all saw what Brown can be. And he's a two-way player. He plays defense. Mm-hmm. So we know he can score. We know he can carry a team. Okay. Then we have Maxey, who can shoot from the logo, He can get dribble penetration. He can kick it. He can lay it up. He can do it. He can pass. He can do it all. Okay? So he needs attention. Okay? You know how I feel about Jacome. I think he's the next Dwayne Wade. Okay? And now, if anything, Embiid slows them down. Embiid will make them go at a slower pace. But then it's like, all right, well, are you taking LeBron or are you taking Embiid? It's like, shit, I don't know. Like, if you're playing the Knicks, Karl Anthony Towns, you playing LeBron or are you playing Embiid?
You're playing LeBron. It's not a question.
Okay.
It's not a question.
And then what, OG takes Embiid?
OG's got Jaylen Brown.
Okay. So who's Hart, guarding Embiid?
So Hart has Edgecombe. And then whoever your center is. Big.
You just throw whoever on a healthy Embiid?
A healthy Embiid does not exist. That's the point I'm trying to get to you. A healthy Embiid does not exist.
I'm just saying it presents a problem.
It's a matchup problem. It absolutely is a matchup problem. Because... but the Knicks actually match up pretty well. Like, but that's the thing. They did well enough to hold their own. Right? They're probably locked in. They were what last year? They were middle of the pack. Are they so far and away that they immediately go to number one?
I think so.
I think so.
Have LeBron, who is motivated. You have Jaylen Brown, who's motivated. You have Maxey, who's motivated. You got Edgecombe, who's coming up. He's a rising star. You've got Nick Nurse, who's a good coach. He's not a slouch. He's not J.J. Redick. He's not, you know, Derek Fisher. He's not a garbage coach. He's a good coach. And then, you have Embiid, who, if anything, slows them down when he plays. But when he's in there, you can't not pay attention to him. I'm not going to look at what happened this past season because he was hurt most of the season. But when he's playing and he's healthy, I mean, he's a problem. So, I mean, listen, I think I like the move. And clearly what he's trying to do, Z, is he's going to be like, I'm going to be the first player to win with four different teams. Right? Because that's the only thing he can hang his hat on now. And if he gets that fifth championship, then we're like, oh, okay. He's in the conversation with MJ, right? Because... you've done something Steph didn't do. You've done something nobody else has done. So all our eyes will be looking in for that.
They will, but here's the thing. And to go back to Embiid and LeBron only playing 60 last year. Do you know when the last time Joel Embiid played over 50 games?
I'm going to say 2021.
2022. He played 66 close. Games. He played 68 games in 2021. Before that, 51, 51, 64, 63, 31. Last year, 38. A year before that, 19.
But what I'm trying to tell you is like, I don't even think they need him. Like, he's the cherry on top.
Yeah, here's the
he's
thing,
He's the
though.
Cherry on top. He makes them... Embiid playing makes them a defensive nightmare for any team that comes to Philadelphia or whenever they show up in anybody's arena. They are going to be a problem to guard. Now, without him, they're a good team. They're a good team. But with him and everybody healthy, I think it's the best starting five.
You're asking for too much, number one. Number two, you're asking who is coming off the bench besides KCP? Like, they're not going to play a full 48. All these guys are not playing full 48s. Like, somebody's got to play. Somebody's got to come off the bench and contribute. KCP is the first guy. They need more. Now, are you going to get veterans who are going to say, yeah, I'll fucking go play with LeBron for a mil?
Sure. I think so.
Yeah, why not? But
what they need is shooting. Hey, that's what I would focus on. If you need a shooting and you need a good backup guard, right? Because to me, just having three of those guys, even before LeBron got there, they were going to be formidable. Like, Edgecombe, Brown, and Maxey, that's a formidable three. That's a that's a good three. And then like, oh, Embiid's the center. Oh, all right. So you're a 45-50 win team. Oh, LeBron's on the team. You're a 60 win team. You're not a 60. You don't think they're a 60 win team?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
The Warriors, Cavs, Heat, they all lost the LeBron sweepstakes, so now they need to pick up the pieces. The Warriors just signed Draymond Green to a one-year, $27 million deal. The Cavs brought Harden back. They brought the band back together because they did so well last year. And the Heat are strapped for cash, so it's going to be Antetokounmpo and Bam with a bunch of jobbers. So how does the 2026 season look for these teams now?
So let's start with the Warriors. You're running back pretty much the same team. They're a year older. They got a year more tread on the tire. You lost out on LeBron, which means you lost out on AD. You brought back Draymond again for one more year, one more run. The other teams in the Western Conference got better. You're looking at probably another play-in tournament for the once formidable Warriors. Now the Cavs, middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Other teams got better. They're probably slipping down to the 6, maybe 7. Maybe they're a play-in bound if teams like the Wizards come up, if Orlando remembers who the fuck they are. Orlando was a huge underachiever last year. If they play to form, if they play to what they're capable of, Orlando should be in the top 5. Should be. And then it leaves the Heat. Yes, you brought in Giannis. You have Giannis and Bam. What else? What else you got? You had to subtract Tyler Hero to get
Ugats.
Right. And then you got punched in the face.
Which the NBA will not discipline him for.
Hey,
because Tyler Hero had it coming.
That's right. Let that be a lesson to you. Bam, my man. You're right. Good job. Nice job. So I don't think any of these three teams got appreciably better, even though the Heat added a superstar in the caliber of Giannis. There's just not enough around him. So I think the best of the three, if we're going to rank them, I think the Cavs have the best shot at being in the playoffs. The other two are going to have to fight for their lives. They need the Warriors are hanging on to a bygone era, and the Heat need more. I don't know who that more is going to be. Maybe that's Dame Lillard. Maybe that is, you know, I can't fathom right now because we haven't started the season.
They don't have any money.
They're strapped. And you don't have the cachet.
There's no
right?
bloody money.
Right? People will take a discount to go play for LeBron. They're going to play with LeBron, right? Are people going to take a discount to go play for a Spoelstra in Riley's system where you actually have to work? No.
You'd be surprised. Some of those guys that are in the Midwest or some people that are in the Northwest have been dealing with some winters over the last couple of years. They're like, yeah, I'll go to Miami and play.
Yeah.
It's Miami.
Right. And then, yeah, it is Miami, but then it's like, oh, fuck, it's not the vacation I thought it was going to be because there's actually expectations that I work hard. Right. God damn it. God damn it. Fucking Riles, man. Fucking Riles. But that's the Heat culture, right? We talked about the Heat culture. That might be their downfall, is their Heat culture. Are they going to be able to get some people to help out? And I don't think they can. So they may be the worst off of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
They may very well be. But as of right now, the Cavs are in the best position of those three teams.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I get why Golden State brought back Draymond, but I really do think they should look into trading Steph Curry. He's got value. I know he's a little older. He's still a shooter. He can still play. He's still going to put people in the seats, and that could be his final contribution to Golden State. You're not going to win a championship. Not in the West. Not with that team.
Nope.
I know, and Jimmy Butler's coming off of an injury. And I think for you, you're like, okay, it's kind of like the Boston Celtics situation. Okay, we have Tatum who's coming off an injury, and we have Jaylen Brown. Who would you guys rather have? Everyone's gonna be like, I want Brown because he's not coming off an injury. He's healthy. And I think it's the same thing with Golden State. It's like, all right, you want Jimmy Butler who's coming off of an injury, or do you want Steph Curry, possibly the best shooter in our history? And contrary to what Michael Wilbon and ESPN said, I think he is worth three picks and a starter.
Oof.
He is. Come on, you're telling me if you were the 76ers and you can give him three picks and a starter, you wouldn't? You're the Rockets. You wouldn't give Golden State three picks and a starter for Steph Curry?
Three years ago, maybe.
If you're the Rockets, you wouldn't do that? You wouldn't put Kevin Durant and Steph Curry together?
It's going to cost me. I have a team, right?
You have a team.
I have a team that
didn't make the playoffs or got bounced in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got swept in the first round. So it's something stupid like that, right? But they didn't have Kevin Durant.
They didn't have Kevin Durant, but this is also
and
a
they
team.
They didn't have Van Fleet. They didn't have their point guard.
They didn't have Fred Van Fleet either.
So you give me Fred Van Fleet, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant?
I'm not mortgaging my future. I'm not doing that. Three first rounders, because I'm not going to.
No.
If this was 5 years ago, that's a different
story.
You're Dallas.
You're not going to give them three picks, a starter for Steph Curry? Steph Curry and Cooper Flagg?
For 1 year, 2 years, maybe two. We don't even know.
He's never gonna not be able to shoot. He might not be able to dribble and run around and lay up
on
people.
That's so much of his game.
He can line up in the corner and we can kick it to him for three. That was what his father did at the end of his career. Dell got his number retired for that. Remember any championships Dell Curry won? No, but he could shoot threes. He can shoot threes, man. Yeah.
I'm not mortgaging my future for that. I'm not doing that.
You're Orlando. You're not going to give them three picks and a starter for fucking Steph Curry with your young team?
See,
you
now
can't
that's.
Compete in the East?
But that's a different story. Why is that a different story? Because they have a young core. Houston Rockets team that's already fucking old.
So you're the Orlando Magic. You're not going to give them three picks and a starter for Steph Curry?
Now we're starting to consider it. If I'm the Pistons, okay, now I'm thinking about it.
Right.
But it depends on the situation.
Sure, but I'm just trying to say he's worth it. I'm doing it. If I feel like I have a chance. He's the guy he's not going to stop being able to shoot threes. That's not going to he's always going to be a good shooter. You're Boston. You wouldn't give up three picks and a starter for Steph Curry? You just traded Jaylen Brown for a bologna sandwich.
They would actually flip Paul George as part of that trade, most likely.
Perfect.
To offset the salary.
And Golden State would be like, yeah, we'll take him. We'll have Paul George, Draymond Green, Porzingis. What does it matter? If we're not winning a championship, what does it matter?
Just tear it down.
I'm just trying to say, if we're not winning a championship, what does it matter? See, in the Heat situation, They're next year. Yeah, but next year or the year after that, they should be able to get one more player. They're a player short. They're a player short. They're a star short. They need a star. Maybe it is a Dame Lillard. I don't know. But they tried to play him together with them in Wisconsin and didn't work out. They're a player short.
You know what? It was okay returns. You didn't get what you hoped out of it, but it wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. Now you're putting Bam in that mix as well because your number three was Middleton. If you remove Middleton and you put in Bam, maybe you get some different results. Bam!
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 And then Cleveland, it's dead end, man. Like, it ain't going to be better than it was last year, man.
It's the treadmill of mediocrity. We've been saying that.
James Harden and Donovan Mitchell aren't winning shit.
Nope.
They're not winning anything. Is that going to be better this year? We're not going to be better next year.
No, they're absolutely not. And, you know, for the Cavs, Mario Hezonja is not going to replace what LeBron James could have brought them.
Right.
But I get he's been playing better in Europe, but yeah, that's just not going to be the play. That's
and
just
not
going to
be surprised if a team like the Pistons take a step back. And, you know, they just, I feel like last year was their year. And they, and then Cade got hurt and it just ruined their flow. It ruined their flow come playoff time. So I think those are all dead teams to me. They don't mean anything to me. There's nothing next year that the Cavs or the Heat or the Warriors can do that can compete for a championship. You can write it down on your calendar now. None of those teams will be playing meaningful basketball in June.
Well, so, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far.
What do you mean?
So meaningful in what sense? Conference finals, no. Fighting for a playoff spot and getting in?
Sure. Everybody gets in the NBA. They have a damn play-in tournament for teams 7 through 10 that can still get into the playoffs. You don't even need to be above 500 to get into the playoffs.
Which the Heat and Warriors have both benefited from.
Because at some point, I'm sure Giannis is going to be like, what am I playing the rest of this year for? And in Cleveland, I don't even know what James Harden's going to look like. Because he couldn't get off
Big
the ground this past season.
Big as
so
a hell.
He can't play. He's a liability on defense. That might be a seller come the trade deadline.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Baseball is closing in on their trade deadline. And first baseman Bryce Harper was not shy this week when he came out and said the Phillies need help at the trade deadline. So, this past offseason, Dave Dombrowski said, I'm not sure if Bryce Harper is still a star. And Bryce Harper saying, hey, Dave, we can use some help. So, what can Dave do to help his club?
All right, well, let's take a look-see down the line here. You got Wheeler, you got Sanchez, that's pretty darn good. You got Lizardo, that's pretty darn good. Then the drop-off to Aaron Nola. Right? So, you have all-star Christopher Sanchez, who should have been all-star Zach Wheeler.
He's an all-star, Dave.
That's an all-star right there. So, you know, pie in the sky is you go hard for Scooble. I don't know if you necessarily have the prospects to do that. Right? So,
as a rental, or you take him?
Could you sign him? Could you sign him? It still feels inevitable that you end up with the Dodgers. Right?
Yes.
So
yes, inevitable. Yes. It is inevitable.
I am inevitable. Yes. So if that scares you away, do you go pick up a guy that's not going to cost you as much, like a Kevin Gausman?
Phillies currently 2-8 in their last 10, and they are sporting a -15 run differential.
Oof.
Yikes.
Oof. Which means you're also going to need some help with the bat as well.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're probably looking into a right-handed hitting outfielder. That would be nice.
6 games behind the Braves.
Now, if you you may be able to get Heliot Ramos and Robbie Ray from the Giants and solve both of your problems.
Awesome.
That is possible. Maybe Dalton Varsho might be. I mean, he's definitely going to be available because the Blue Jays have gone in the toilet. So he might be
that
a guy.
It's just bad.
What the fuck? I get injuries.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. only has 6 home runs.
And now he's got a hamstring injury. He's got a hamstring injury. Now he's out.
And Ozzy Albies has 24 home runs.
Yeah. So Byron Buxton, out. Probably not going to get traded. Right?
That was a timely injury, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like...
My leg.
Son of a bitch. Are you kidding me right now?
I wonder if Cody Bellinger's injury is the same thing. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
That train's never friggin' late. That train is never late when it comes to friggin' Byron Buxton. It's amazing to me. They definitely need help in the rotation. I mean, everybody's probably going to be looking for help out of the bullpen. Your middle infield is Trey Turner and Bryson Stott.
He's good. Stott's good.
Stott's pretty good.
Turner,
now,
you've got cold.
You got Crawford, De La Cruz, Hill, Marsh, Sosa. I think you need that. Yeah. I hate this fucking place. I hate this fucking place. I fucking hate
this. He's still there.
My, how his tune has changed. So I think if you could pull off that Ramos and Ray trade, it's two birds and one stone. I think that would work out for you. For the bullpen, maybe you could probably... I mean, you're probably not going to be able to pry either Raley or Minter from the Mets. I don't know if they're going to make an interdivision trade. But if they do, you're probably going to have to pay a premium because you're dealing in division. I mean, if that's the case, you can also expand that to possibly talk about Luis Robert Jr. because he's available. So there are some options there. And then, bullpen arms, they're not really... You know, outside of Mason Miller, which I doubt, you know, AJ Preller is going to want the sun, the moon, the stars for Mason Miller. I don't know if you got the stuff to make that happen. But if you bring in Ramos, Ray, and maybe kick the tires on Kenley Jansen,
what about Soriano from the Angels?
The Angels frighten me. And I'm not going to lie. The Angels frighten me because, you know, you're pitching well. You're playing well in such a dearth of circumstance, right? It's such a dearth of expectation, right? It's house money. Anything is house money out there.
Okay, how about Logan Webb from the Giants?
That's going to take a lot. So...
Robbie Ray?
Robbie Ray, I think, is more realistic because he's an impending free agent. So I think that might be worth it. I mean, even if you wanted to go Arias and Robbie Ray, I think that would work because Arias can fucking hit. We know this dude can hit. The question is he going to play second base? Where is he going to play? That's why I think Ramos is a better fit. Mm-hmm. But Gausman, I think, would be a good upgrade for your rotation. And then...
Yeah, I like Gausman. Northeast.
So I think... If you got any combination of those four guys, I think you're going to be in a good spot if you're the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't really know because I think they're in one of those situations like, well, how good are we? How good are we? Right? And I don't know if they necessarily need another player. They just need to get hot. Right? I mean, I think we can all agree that their lineup is a problem, right? When those guys are hitting, I know the run differentials and the negatives, but when those guys are hitting, when Kyle Schwarber is your leadoff hitter, fuck, man. And then you got Bryce Harper, man. And, you know, I know Bohm is still a good player, and Turner is I think he's one of the best hitters in the game. I know his average is down, but he's a really good hitter and a savvy base runner. Stott is really good too. I mean, when those guys are all playing really well, they're a hard lineup to deal with. And in a seven-game series, I think they can beat anybody. They can even go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers. They can't beat the Dodgers. But they can go toe-to-toe with them because they can hit. They can smoke the ball. So I don't know if it necessarily... Yes, I do agree with some of the things you're saying. I think, you know, being able to get an Arise or get a Mason Miller or Gausman, for sure, would definitely help them. But really, what they're going to need is they're going to need Mattingly, their manager, to do what he does best. And that's manage the hell out of this team and get them ready for the postseason. Get them ready to play some really tough games in August, in September, get hot, and make a run. I think that's ultimately what the Phillies really need to do.
The drop-off from third to fourth is so steep, though. Because while you had three all-stars at the top, you then dropped to Aaron Nola, who's 3-9 with a 5-6-1.
He's not good.
No, he has not been good for a while.
You are not good, sir.
No, he has not been good for a while. I agree. So if you plug in a guy
but we know there's a history where two aces can get you through the playoffs. So a Sanchez and a Wheeler can get you through. Do you agree or disagree?
Not in this landscape of Major League Baseball. Not where we have, not where the Dodgers had a friggin'
Dodgers only pitched you one guy.
The Dodgers.
One guy won that World Series.
Right.
He pitched two nights in a row. They still couldn't hit him.
Yes. And then, you know, it got to the point where the Dodgers were like, fuck this, we're throwing a bullpen game.
Fuck it.
You know, the Yankees, you could argue, have, what, Rodon, Fried, Cole, and Schlittler, and it's still not enough. That's pretty damning.
Who's the other guy? Warren?
Warren's your five. He'll probably be the long man out of the bullpen. But I would argue that's not enough.
You would argue that their starting rotation is not enough?
No.
They need Heal?
I've seen Rodon shit the bed. I've seen Garrett Cole shit the bed.
Aw, shit.
He rebooted in the middle of the World
Series. You can go get him now.
You can go get him. Mr. Schlittler, you can go get him now. Yes. So you can't have enough pitching. You can never have enough pitching, which is why the Dodgers are still going in on Skubal, right? Because you can never have enough.
Well, they're about to get healthy, the Dodgers. They're about to get Diaz back, right?
They got him back today. They activated him today.
They activated him today, and who else are getting back? They're getting back one other guy. Snell. Mm-hmm.
You add Blake Snell to your rotation.
They're getting him back.
Yeah.
In August.
Right. So...
Because that's all that matters.
Because that's it. It's just like...
We just need to play well in August and September and October. We'll be fine.
But that's the thing. You can never
have... First 3 months of the season don't matter.
The Dodgers can field an 8-man rotation if they so chose. Because remember, they still have Tyler Glass now, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, at the end of the day, the Phillies and whoever, the Braves, whoever feels like they may have a chance, the Cubs... it's an arms race. You need to load up. Castillo's available. Skubal's available. Mason Miller's available.
Casey Mize
will cost you less than those guys. So that would be a good idea.
I like Casey Mize.
Casey Mize would be a good idea for teams that are on a budget, right? So Casey Mize would be a guy like the Rays would look for. Emerson Hancock is interesting because...
If the Rays call, hang up.
If the Rays call, hang up. If we want Kodai Senga. No.
Fuck off.
No. We're going to keep him. It's like, fuck, man. Now we're stuck.
I don't care if he gets up 8 runs. He's going out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you got... Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta's going back to the Brewers, most likely. Nice going, Chief.
So, thanks.
Can they at least get Sproat and Jet Williams back?
Could you
at least get the guys you traded for him? Please? But that's kind of where we are,
Susan.
That's baseball, Susan. And here's what you need to do. You got to load the fuck up. You got to get them before the Dodgers do. Because that's what's happening. More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
All right, moving on to football. The Raiders have tabbed Kirk Cousins as the starter heading into Raiders training camp. Now, they also drafted Fernando Mendoza with the number one pick this past draft, who won the Heisman and won the national championship on the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers. So, do you believe Mendoza can win the job from Kurt out of training camp?
Sure. Absolutely. Why not? Why the hell not? This is not like... this is not Vikings Kirk Cousins. This is not even... this is not even King of the Bag Kirk Cousins. This is the guy...
What?
It's not even Redskins Kirk Cousins. It's not even that guy. Now, there's a guy who lost out to Michael Penix, and then they didn't want to put him back out there, but they had no choice but to. And then they said, nah, we'll take Tua. Adios, muchacho. we will take Tua, who's hurt again. Stop me when you heard this before. Tua's hurt again. They would rather choose him.
And they signed Cooper Rush.
Yes, they did.
Who will be the starter.
He will start at some point this season. Yeah. It's a matter of time.
At least three games, right?
At least three games. I know you said the under when we asked him.
I took the under.
I think I'm going to take the over on that. Between Penix's knees and Tua's head, forget it.
I mean, is Penix going to get cut?
No, at this point, like, he may get cut by a surgeon. Like, he may go under the knife again. But but that's the thing, like. Kirk Cousins is 37 years old. He knows who the hell he is, right? At this point, he's now the journeyman backup. He's not the king of the bag anymore. He tried that in Atlanta, and it didn't work out so hot. His role is clearly as a mentor to Fernando Mendoza to get him ready to be a pro. I mean, he could be Mendoza's dad, for Christ's sake. Like, the resemblance is so eerie. In personality, facially, like, it's very odd that how much of Kirk Cousins is in Fernando Mendoza. But stranger things have happened, right? We've seen Matt Flynn lose out to Russell Wilson. We've seen guys go into training camp and shit the bed. So yeah, Kirk Cousins may have command of a huddle now when it's 7-on-7 drills and there's nothing to it. We haven't had a joint practice yet, so which means we haven't had a fight. So that's good. But the only fight's been in Bengals camp between Jamar Chase and one of the defensive backs.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Jamar. But when you finally suit up in anger against the other team, like, what are you going to see? And Kirk Cousins, yeah, I get it. He wasn't healthy. His elbow was barking, but he hasn't been looking that good the past 2 years, even with a healthy arm. So I think the plan, at least on paper, is probably give Cousins the first 3 or 4 weeks and then turn the reins over, a la Kurt Warner to Eli Manning, right?
But so you're saying Mendoza could win.
He could. He absolutely could. All he's doing.
You don't think it's set up. You don't think it's just set up like, hey man, like, Kurt's going in as the guy. We want Kurt to start the 4 games.
I think
that we'll turn it over to you.
That's the plan. Just like Matt Flynn.
So he can't win it. Like,
no, I'm not saying that, because Matt Flynn was the planned starter, and then Russell Wilson took it from him. If Fernando Mendoza plays so well that you cannot deny him.
So you think he's capable of taking it from Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I do. Based on the past 2 seasons I've seen from Kirk Cousins, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, he has a lot to get used to. Fernando Mendoza is, you know, transitioning from the college game to the pros. That's going to be a big transition for him. He's got a good head on his shoulder. He seems to be an apt study. He's not Jamarcus Russell. I mean, the bar is low on that. Just don't be Jamarcus Russell. So, you know, when somebody gives you a DVD, at least put it in the DVD player and see if there's anything on it. The bar is low. But I think that Fernando Mendoza has the potential, and I think that he has the aptitude where he could wrestle this job from Kirk Cousins. I absolutely do. He's demonstrated it. There's going to be a learning curve, but he has the tools. But we've seen guys with tools struggle. Who is the quarterback of the reigning defending Super Bowl champions? Sam Darnold. He has the tools. And took him how long to figure it out? Mm-hmm. And how many teams? Mm-hmm. So I get what the plan is. And there's also the possibility that Mendoza plays so well that they tab him out of training camp. But
wow,
the plan is clear. The plan, you put him in, right? It's the same thing with Jackson Dart. They didn't put Jackson Dart as the starter. Russell Wilson was the starter.
Right.
You get them acclimated, get their feet wet, and then see if they can swim. But if they can swim, let them swim. Let them swim.
Well, it's interesting you referenced Seattle there with Sam Darnold and again with Russell Wilson because his coach
Kubiak.
Is Kubiak, who's from Seattle. No, I think this was the plan all along, like you said. And I do think regardless of how well he plays in camp, they're not going to go with him to start the season. You know, this is their future. This is their asset. I mean, I think the expectations are that he's going to be there for years to come, right? And I think he has a lot to learn from Kirk Cousins. Yep. And yeah, sure, maybe after 3 or 4 games, Kurt will look terrible and like, all right, we're looking terrible, so we can look terrible with this guy. But you want to know, he understands all the calls. He understands the check with me's. He can protect himself. Because remember, this kid runs too.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit a lot harder on this level. They're a lot faster on this level. There was nothing I saw in Indiana that made me think that he could just start day one. Similarly with Cam Ward, there was nothing I saw with Miami that I said, oh, this guy could start day one. And Cam Ward had a very, very difficult first season for the Titans. And you would hope that Cam Ward, you're just happy Cam Ward got out of that without getting hurt. I think he got hurt in the last game, but it wasn't too serious. So I think the Raiders are going to be looking to protect their asset. I think it's a situation where we'll let Kurt play, and then once we see how terrible Kurt is, then we'll give you a shot.
Well, that's definitely going to come because Kirk Cousins hasn't demonstrated that he can really handle the load anymore. Right? That is something that seems to have passed him by quickly.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
But speaking of passing somebody by quickly, the contract talks between the Bucs and Vita Vea, they're gone just as quickly as they came. And Buccaneers run stuffer resident BMF Vita Vea has requested a trade after those contract extension talks have stalled. So there will be most likely many suitors to secure Vea's services, but who needs him the most?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he has a couple of team fits. I mean, we talk about Vita Vea on the show probably more than any other podcast because he's just...
Our biggest fan. We're his biggest fans.
He just is not... He's just not movable. Like, whatever place he's trying to go through, whatever his assignment is on that play, he's going to pretty much do it. He doesn't wear gloves. He's a mountain of a man. You can't really move him. He's going to... You know what you kind of do? You kind of guide him to where you want him to go.
Yes.
You know, you ride him out. Ride him out. He wants to do it through here? Okay, ride him out. Just ride him through. So, there are a couple of fits for him. I think Vegas is one. I think Vegas could really use him, and I could see him being a Raider. I think one that's very intriguing would be New England. New England's a place where, you know, he can really prosper under Vrabel. That defense could use a guy of his caliber. Okay? A team that needs more defense and better defenders is also the Chargers. You can send him all the way over to L.A. They can use him. I know they wouldn't do this, but in-division teams also, you know, could use his services, like the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers could use him. And another team that's in the Bay Area that could use him, the San Francisco 49ers. They tend to get hurt there, so I wouldn't go there. But I like the idea of going to the New England Patriots. I like the idea of also going to the Raiders.
Interesting choices. Now, who needs him the best, right? Who needs him the most? That is going to take out teams that just perennially get star players, right? That's going to take out the Rams. It's going to take out the Eagles. That's going to take out...
Well, the Eagles, you know, just extended their guy.
Exactly. So they have Jordan Davis. They don't need Vita Vea at nose tackle. That's what they do. So you're thinking about a team that possibly missed out on Dexter Lawrence, right? You want a big run-stuffing nose tackle. New England's a good fit. The Cowboys would also be a good fit.
No, they got Kenny Pickett, right? Not Kenny Pickett. Who did they?
Kenny Clark plays defensive end. You plug him in between him and Quinn and Williams. You could do that if you were gonna do that. So their nose tackle only had half a sack last year. So that's possible. And in a division where you have Saquon Barkley and Scadaboo, you're probably going to want to shore that up. Niners are interesting. I know you brought them up. They do get hurt. That's the one thing.
Hurt, man.
Like, bro.
Even Kyle Shanahan got hurt. He got into a car accident. All jacked up.
Now, you put him on that line with Bosa, Odighizuwa, CJ West on defensive end. You have Alfred Collins. Like, you're replacing him. 4 solo tackles, 1 sack last year. I mean, that's, in terms of production wise, that would be a good fit because they could definitely use him. Now, is he going to command more than Dexter Lawrence did in a trade? That's the question. I would argue that it's 1 and 1A. So if you weren't comfortable paying the premium for Dexter Lawrence, then you're probably not going to want to pay for Vita Vea because you still got to extend him. Right? You still have to do that. So,
and he plays.
He plays. He does. He 100% plays. So you have to be comfortable with that. You absolutely need to be comfortable with that. And only a few teams truly get comfortable with that. But the best thing that could happen for him, I think the best place for him is Tampa Bay. It fits him like a glove, and it would behoove them to actually keep him and lock it down. But more than likely, he will be playing elsewhere, and it would not surprise me one bit if it was Dallas. You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, your buddy Joe Buck was recently on ESPN and he questioned the hype around the Rams and all of their shiny new weapons. Do you believe in the Rams or do you doubt them like Joe Buck?
I think we need to go back and reference our order up from last week. And that, I think that's all you need to know about what we think about the Rams. Who was your first place team?
Probably the Rams.
It was the Rams. Who was my first place team? It was the Rams. It was the Rams. So, shut up, Joe. No, in all.
Well, I think he poses some interesting things.
He does. The whole shiny toy syndrome.
That usually doesn't win in the NFL.
No,
the NFL
doesn't
usually. The teams that
except when the Eagles do it. Except when the Eagles do it. Then it becomes, you know, Howie Roseman's a fucking genius. Because he gets them for cheap. He gets the shiny toys for cheap. But this team's loaded. It is absolutely loaded. Now, what was their problem last year? Why couldn't they finish the job?
It was just, they didn't, it was an incomplete pass.
That's it.
All.
That's it.
Was it.
That's it.
The guy catches the ball, they're going to the Super Bowl. Man.
Correct. Correct. And then this is the same team that had the Eagles on the ropes and almost beat the Eagles. But again.
Another one.
Yeah.
An incomplete pass.
I'm not saying Matthew Stafford is the problem. By no means am I saying that. But a bounce here, a bounce there, and we're thinking very differently.
They gave him a 99 rating in Madden. I mean, he's good.
Ooh.
Jeez, he's not that good.
Ooh.
Stafford.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
What?
No.
Ooh. Over Mahomes, over Lamar, over Burrow. He's the top rated quarterback in the Madden game.
No.
Why? How the tables have turned. 2009?
What?
This guy was like a 79 overall.
That's absurd.
Right?
I don't even play Madden anymore, but that's absurd. I know that's absurd.
But I don't play it either. I just noticed it. They were releasing the ratings, you know,
no.
The game's coming out.
But the fact that the players lobby EA or they lobby Madden for their rating is all you need to know. It's like the wrestlers who lobby Dave Meltzer to give them higher star ratings. It's like, come on, Dave, you know you like that match. Give me an extra one. I'll talk favorably about you on Twitter. Just goose me just a little bit. But I understand what Joe Buck is talking about when he's talking about shiny toy syndrome. The problem is that these toys perform really well, and they were within a play two consecutive years from contending for a Super Bowl. So I don't have doubts. I don't have doubts. And I think one day, maybe this year, they will actually convert that one play and they will move on. Now, these games, these plays were on the road. Can you possibly clinch home field advantage? Can you do that? Secure a game at SoFi? That might help. You don't have to play in weather. You don't have to play in elements. And all of a sudden, things become a track meet.
You know what is interesting? I saw today that this is going to be Jared Goff's 11th year in the NFL.
This will
be his sixth year with the Lions. He's been with the Lions longer than he was with the Rams. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Isn't that wild?
That is amazing.
I feel like that just happened.
Yeah.
He's been there for 6 years.
I think we could safely say that was a good trade for both teams based on expectations. The Rams wanted the ring. They got the ring. The Lions wanted a reset on their franchise, and they got a reset on their franchise.
Well, let's not forget the Lions got to the conference championship.
They did.
Too. Like, they did.
They did. They got a reset on their franchise.
My only thing I would say is I do believe that Goff could have won there.
Goff with McVay? I think so. I think so. I think so. Absolutely. I mean, they had to undo everything that happened in the Jeff Fisher era. And that was the problem. But, yeah, I mean, I respectfully disagree with Joe Buck. I think that this team is a couple of bad bounces away from not being in this conversation. But I get it. They just brought in Myles Garrett. They're trying to gather all of the Infinity Stones, much like the Eagles did. But I still believe in the Rams.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at MollyBZ.com.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi are both done at UNC.
Man, it certainly seems that way. So Mike Lombardi was put on administrative leave. They're saying there was some kind of complaint issued by a staffer there. You know, Mike Lombardi is just really not liked anywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised this happened there. There's also some talk that he was over in Saudi Arabia trying to do business on behalf of North Carolina. I'm not sure how true those reports are, but man, if that's true, jeebus. The problem here, right, is that the two people that Bill, like, listened to and that, like, feel like are above him or he works with is his girlfriend or fiance or wife or whatever she is, and Mike Lombardi. Like, these are the two people that are assisting arguably the greatest coach of all time. What I will say, though, is I feel like they played better last season. I feel like North Carolina did take a step forward last year. But if your over-under wins for the season is 4.5, that's just not going to get it done, man. That's not going to get it done, even in North Carolina. So I'm going to say fair.
I mean, what was the goal?
What's her name? Her name is Jordan Fisher, I think, right?
Jordan something. I forget what her last name is. But 4-8, 333 win percentage, abysmal in-conference record. It was 2-6, I believe, in conference. What was the goal? What was the stated goal of Bill Belichick going to UNC to deliver an NFL caliber program?
Oh, Jordan Hudson.
So his goal, his stated mission, was to bring an NFL caliber program to UNC. You'd have to say that this is a colossal failure. You'd have to say it's fair they get rid of both of them because they've brought nothing but drama. It's been nothing but nonsense. And you turned over the roster. It's not like you didn't bring guys in. You went and recruited and you brought in players who were stoked about playing for Bill Belichick. And that's what you delivered. 4-8, 2-6 in conference. Now, could it get better? Sure. Right? Everything could get better. You need to bring in better coaching. Freddie Kitchens as your offensive coordinator ain't going to cut it. Creepy Steve as your DC probably isn't going to work. With his mullet. I think you probably need to... I mean... Are Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss not doing anything? Go knock on their doors. I'm sure that they could probably do something for you. Have something a little bit more creative than what Freddy Kitchens and Steve Belichick were doing. So... The Michael Lombardi thing, yeah, you're on paid administrative leave and it's an HR violation, you're done. You're done. This was supposed to be the 33rd team, right? They were supposed to be that. And all the headlines have been negative, even as far as banning the Patriots scouts from UNC practices. Who wants to draft this shit? They were 4-8 and 2-6 in conference. I don't want any of your players. Don't worry about it, man. That's all right. I'm okay. I'm okay not coming to your practice, coach. So don't worry about it. So you tried, you failed, cut bait. Fair or foul number two. Jeff Kent, Carlos Beltran, and Andrew Jones going into the Hall of Fame together at the same time.
I would say bang. There's one name in there that just doesn't belong. I think Andrew Jones and Carlos Beltran are fine, but Jeff Kent, he doesn't really hold a candle to either of those guys, right? Mm. Pretty sure Carlos Beltran won a championship, right?
He did.
And then Andrew Jones, I think he had a couple of 50 home run seasons. He was probably one of the best center fielders in the game when he played. He won a bunch of division titles with the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Kent, I think he went to the World Series with the Giants. Maybe? I think he went to the World Series with the Giants with steroid Barry Bonds. I mean, he was a good second. He was good. He wasn't great. So, I think it's foul.
Jeff Kent has the most career home runs of any second baseman and the highest batting average, I believe, for second base. Or one of the highest batting averages career for second base. So, offensively, he deserves to be there. He's a Hall of Fame asshole. We know this. So... the numbers dictate that he should be there. 377 career homers. Former MVP, 5-time All-Star. He should be there. Andrew Jones is a tricky one because of how badly he fell off when he went to the Dodgers.
Yeah, when he didn't finish very well. He stayed in the game too long.
He overstayed his welcome a lot. So, but he still finished with 434 career homers. He's a 254 hitter. So not great. Like, he would be a superstar today at 254.
He would strike out a lot today, too.
He would. And he got as big as a house. So he's exactly what the modern player would look like. 10-time gold glover, 5-time all-star, 1 silver slugger. Defensively, one of the best center fielders of the modern era. You put him up there with Junior. Like he could go get it in center field. He absolutely was a defensive whiz. I don't know if that's enough to carry him through the Hall of Fame, though. But if you got Ozzie Smith in there, who was a defensive whiz, Andrew Jones is more of an offensive player than Ozzie Smith was, with just as good of a glove. So if Ozzie Smith is in, Andrew Jones is probably, I would say Andrew Jones, that's fine. Carlos Beltran. Never mind that he was allegedly the mastermind of the trash can scandal. Let's be real about that. He got his ring because they were banging on a trash can. Fastball. Curveball. Yes. Rookie of the year. 9-time All-Star. 279 career hitter, 435 career homers. He's definitely got some tarnish. The individual stats are there. The individual accolades are there. But he also didn't hustle all the time. Took that, still looking at that curveball from Adam Wainwright. Still looking at that curveball from Adam Wainwright. And he's the face of that cheating scandal. And I don't think that's something that should be taken lightly. At the end of the day, it's Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. They can do what they like. Right? They'll condone that cheating because it was low tech, I suppose. I don't know. Major League Baseball's cracking down on iPad usage. After what the Mets, you know, the Mets introduced this program, this app on their iPad, and it somehow made them worse. Good job, guys. Well done. Bully for you.
Bully.
But it's very interesting what Major League Baseball honors and what Major League Baseball reprimands. Steroids bad, spitballs good. HGH bad, banging on trash can
good.
Spider tech and banging on trash can good. I'm confused by this. But, you know, the numbers are good enough to be there. And of the three, Andrew Jones is probably the weakest, but not by much. I think the ring is what, you know, the ring is what takes Beltran over the top. But in the way you get the ring, I guess that doesn't mean anything. But of the three, Kent is probably the slam dunk Hall of Famer of the three. But we're about to enter some lean years here. We are about to enter some lean years, and we're going to have some guys where we're going to look at them, and they're going to get in, and we're going to be like, him?
Really?
Really? Really? And this may pave the way for guys like Keith Hernandez, guys like Don Mattingly, like guys that have been knocking on the door for years. This might be their chance to get in. And with the way baseball has evolved to where we're not going to have a 300 game winner until they fundamentally change how they do things, right? I mean, JV will get in, but JV's not getting 300, right? We're going to have to start really like thinking about this, and it's really going to diminish what it means to be a Hall of Famer. A lot of Hall of Very Good is about to get in, because I doubt that they're going to want that stage to be empty for too long.
Outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today, fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Argentina. Couldn't have happened. The nicer guys. Argentina. So apparently, the FIFA has come down on the players and the assistant coach with charges of assault. So there's that. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Argentina, definitely on the list for sure. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, he is a pitcher on the Toronto Blue Jays. His name is Shane Bieber. Not Ooh. Justin Bieber, but Shane Bieber. He had a great day yesterday. He started for the Blue Jays, and he had 6 walks in 2 1/3 innings, 4 runs, and 1 hit to the Nationals. Thanks for playing.
One goddamn
Shane Bieber,
hit.
You are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got former quarterback and current CBS play-by-play guy, or actually color commentator, Tony Romo.
Oh.
Arrested in Wisconsin for an open bottle of alcohol in his car and operating while intoxicated. After a round of golf, body cam footage is out. Pretty embarrassing. Oh, Tony. He didn't pull a Mark Sanchez, though. Thank goodness. Tony Romo, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, I've got outfielder Harrison Bader. So, he's been already out for 2 months with plantar fasciitis. But he's going to miss some more time from the San Francisco Giants because he crashed his scooter over the weekend, further injuring his foot. A similar thing happened in 2014 when he was with the Florida Gators. We like to talk about Harrison Bader on the show because he's a local. This is a situation where he wish he wasn't a local. Harrison Bader, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
What the fuck? Hey, you have one
job. He hurt his foot on what?
You have one job. You're out hurt. Don't get further hurt. There you go. Hey, that seems like a pretty easy one. Don't get fucking hurt. You got one job. One job. We got to go back to the Tony Romo thing. Rough day. Rough day on the links. He was 35 over par at the golf tournament that he was playing. And decided to drown his sorrows, I guess. And they have... all we needed was for him to call an Uber. He had one job, Tony. He had one job. Call a goddamn Uber. You could do your wind sprints. You could sweat profusely. You could do everything. You could do everything that Marks... You could have pulled a full 1.0 Sanchez. But on this meter, you probably did about a 0.75. A 0.75 Sanchez is not a great... And the video is hilarious. Say the alphabet backwards. Walk in a straight line. How'd I do? Put your hands behind your back.
I failed, didn't I?
Jesus, Tony. Oh, God almighty. That's atrocious. Absolutely atrocious.
How'd I do?
You're under arrest.
See, you failed.
You're under arrest.
Put your hands behind your back. Oh, I failed, I guess.
God damn it.
I should have said B.
Should have got a live chicken. Jesus Christ. Oh, I got to start with Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta.
Friend of the program.
Stinking up the joint once again. And what might very well have been his last start as a Met.
Maybe he did that on purpose, Z.
To go back to Milwaukee? Is that the plan? Is that what you think the plan was? So, this man started out fine. You know, he wasn't the ace that you were hoping for when you acquired him for Sprout and Williams, but he wasn't terrible. And he's fallen off a goddamn cliff. He's got an ERA. He had an ERA of 6 recently. His ERA, I believe, is in the mid-5s for the year. He's been giving up 1.73 home runs per 9 innings. Like, completely fallen off a cliff. So, of course, the Brewers want him back. They can fix him. Just like that. Well, that's the case with most players who play for the Mets. They can fix them.
All right, Freddie, give him the heater.
Forget about the curveball. Give him the heater.
All right, after him.
I think things are about to turn around for us. Yes, I believe so, too. You just have to get off this dog shit team. And
take Bichette with you, please.
Pundits agree, because they're saying that he's pitching into some bad luck because of the poor defense behind him. Now, wait a goddamn second. The whole point of this was run prevention. Wait a goddamn second. David Stearns, you son of a bitch. Freddy Peralta, I hope you enjoyed your few months here in New York. It's been an abysmal failure. Go back to Milwaukee and become the stud pitcher that you once were. And maybe you can get that ERA down into the mid-threes by the end of the year. Freddy Peralta, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, FIFA. Oh, here we go. Gianni Infantino is trying to raise $20 billion through private equity for the next World Cup. And he's trying to strong arm the 55 member nations of UEFA into agreeing to these terms. Now, they're trying to say that it's fast $20 million, man. Just do it. Just do it. You're fine. You're going to get 66 million more by 2038. Just go ahead. That's what the money's for. Just do that.
That's
what the money's for. But selling your organization to private interest opens up to a major problem. No strings, huh? Oh, expect strings. Expect strings. FIFA, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I have to go. Oh, who do I have to go with? There's so many choices. So many choices. I gotta go with the Phillies. Yeah, I get it. 2-8 in their last 10. The only team that's worst is the Marlins, who I think were 1-11 in their last 12. So, nobody's expecting anything from the Marlins. Their expectations of the Phillies. Get us some help! Get us some help! Said apparently not a star Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Dave Dombrowski, you got some homework to do, man. You are running out of time here before the trade deadline. So there are pieces to be acquired. Your star player shouldn't be begging for help. You're a big market team. Act like it, goddammit. Philadelphia Phillies, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.